The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, local for over 30 years.
Welcome to the Kerr's Hire Cat Attack Podcast, oozing out of your eardrums like molten lava out of Mount Vesuvius. Ben Casnelia with you. I'm joined by Tom King. Have you ever been to Mount Vesuvius,
King? No, but I know Pompeii were favourites for the flag in AD 76, but unfortunately the eruption of Mount Vesuvius brought an early halt to the season, and it was a flag that went unrewarded.
We love an eruption, which is always nice. They apparently had trouble deciding their medical sub for that match, but Cats have got more problems than the medical sub, King, haven't they? They're 3-2, and we say it each week that, look, they're in a good, well, they're in a reasonable spot, but they're just not going that well.
They were 3-2 this time last year, and weren't going that well.
Good test this week, I reckon. West Coast are putrid away from home.
And missing a few too.
They are. So
stupid me asked Jed Buse post-game about Liam Ryan. Liam Ryan's not playing any time soon.
No, he's outski. So, yeah, looking forward to the Saturday though, King. I think the Cats...
Saturday afternoon?
Well, I mean, it shouldn't happen, but it does. It's human nature that they're playing North. They're going to win... Barring miracle.
Other teams put North away.
Yeah, well, you're not going to play your best every week, Geelong. And I'm not offering an excuse, but, you go in and think, we're going to win and we'll just
Geelong
do enough.
Have Geelong been at their best at all this year? Can you name maybe a quarter against Brisbane?
First half against Brisbane was reasonable.
Outside of that?
No, they've been average.
Quarter against Hawthorn?
Oh, even then. I think there just seems to be no flow to the way that they play. I mean, they had 440 disposals against North Melbourne?
100 more.
Yeah. And kick 10 goals against a team that's probably going to struggle to win a game. They'll win, you'd think they'd win something.
You always steal one.
Yeah, they'll win one or two. That's it.
10-17 they kicked. If they kick 17-10, are we talking about, and it's a 70?
Yeah, but the thing is, they were never really, it wasn't an unlucky, it wasn't like they missed seven shots from directly in front. No. A lot of their shots were under pressure from wide, which is sort of symptomatic of the way they play.
Yeah.
Just going back to Mount Vesuvius. I just like saying Vesuvius. Yeah. It's got a sort of ring to it. Have you ever seen an active volcano?
No, I haven't.
Neither have I. Were the Yu Yangs ever active?
Yes.
They were they?
Yep.
How long ago was this?
Oh, you're going back tens of thousands of years, I think.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Looking forward to Saturday. Need a London Fog, a few players.
Well, I can guarantee you...
Luke Dallas is going to play.
He's going to play. Well, I can guarantee he's playing because it's his 200th.
Yeah, okay. Well, he's playing. Well, let's hope that inspires him to do something that's sort of positive. I was thinking, actually, during the week, this is probably a little difference to Geelong to Richmond.
Yep.
And there are differences. They've been the benchmark team. Do you think that Luke Dalhouse would be still getting a game in Richmond's team?
No, he'd be running around in the VFL like they've done with Daniel Rioli and Caddy. Josh Caddy.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
That's the difference. And I understand that guys to replace him like Simpson and these guys are not available. So there isn't that. And Francis Evans is injured. So I get that. But
yeah, it'd be interesting if Francis Evans wasn't injured whether Dalhouse would be...
Yeah, I don't know that you should be playing just because it's his 200th game. I mean, maybe that will inspire him to play well, but I just was thinking that those good sides like Richmond, they keep the guys on edge. Like Rioli, you see him play like last week and he looks fantastic, and then the 2 weeks later you see him out of the team when the teams come out and you think, gee, what's going on there?
Because they're ruthless.
They are. That's my. I just wonder sometimes we give games to
guys.
Are
we not ruthless enough at selection?
I don't think so. No, I honestly think that, and you know, you send a message to guys. And look, Dalhouse can come back and be a really positive player for the Cats.
Yeah, he's got attributes some other players don't have.
He just needs to find a bit of form in the twos and get a bit of confidence up.
Not a great game to find form in the twos this week because they're only playing the AFL Academy.
Oh wow! Well, I mean, they played them last week, pretty much.
North Melbourne.
They played. Yeah, they were horrible.
I would have thought St Mary's at their strongest in the GFL would have beaten North Melbourne's twos last week.
Yeah, it wasn't great. It wasn't a great tune-up for the Cats. Plenty of confidence, I suppose, gained from getting a few possessions. Good to see Radigalia out there last week.
Ben Jarvis kicked four.
Yeah, but I don't know about
but
that.
But little things like that, though, but they're good for their confidence.
Yeah, it is, yeah. No, I don't doubt that. I think that is good. But it was good to see the big 17 because I think he potentially is a bit of a wild card for the Cats in the second half of the year.
So it'll be interesting to see whether they run him out. Like, got to be so careful in a game that doesn't mean anything in the VFL. Do you run? Like, do you?
He
run,
needs to play.
Do you still play?
Yeah, he just needs to get a bit of game. He may not play the whole game, but he needs to get a bit of game time under his belt. He's had an injury issue. I just think the quicker you get him back into the team, could you see Stanley was okay on the weekend? He certainly.
I thought he was solid.
Yeah, he beat Goldstein. I think with could you see Cameron Hawkins and Radaglia playing in the one team, and then Radaglia being the pinch hit ruckman,
yes.
And then that leaves Blitzhalf to play in defence for the entire game.
Well, that's what we want.
Yeah, I just wonder how it works when he's up forward. That's a little issue. They'd have to get that right because Hawkins, Cameron, and Radaglia are not great pressure players, and we know that good sides like Port Adelaide and Richmond, one of their strengths is absolutely whizzing the ball out of your back half at 4 million miles an hour, and if you've got no pressure on that ball coming out,
you get scored against.
Yeah, you do, because the players up the field are simply not capable of covering.
The ground, do you know what the worst ground for those three to play on is? GMHBA, because it's not...
It's narrow, and it gives them a chance. Well, and that's where we...
But get them on the MCG, that's where it's going to be...
I just think, well, I like Radaglia, I think he's not going to come in and dominate, but he's physical in the ruck. That's what I like. He likes the physical contact.
Crashes
You've
packs.
Got to like that as a ruckman. He crashes, you don't, you forget about it.
And do you know what? He crashes packs. And do you know what? Then they've got to go and tell Gary Rowan, Gary, stop flying.
Yeah.
Because you've got Hawkins, Cameron and Radaglia.
He's never going to go out of his game, though. He loves doing that.
But,
and he never marks.
But I reckon it was the Eagles down here 2 years ago when Geelong gave him a touch-up and Rowan flew for everything and marked everything. But he hasn't done it often enough.
One of the few days.
Yeah, he hasn't done it often enough. So you always say, Gary, stay on the ground.
Yeah,
you actually are quick away from the contest. Well, he can get hands on the footy.
And if the opposition gets it, he can put pressure on.
Correct. So, once he's in the air and the ball hits the deck, he's then got to find recovery, and by that time the ball's gone.
Yeah, I don't mind that, Kingy. Have you put that forward?
Tomorrow.
To the coaching
Chris
staff?
Chris Watts media conference tomorrow.
I don't know what sort of response you get when you start telling him what he should do tactics-wise. Do you reckon he'd be...
Yeah, I'm sure after me covering...
What I'd do is I'd have three or four questions...
Full body armour.
You know, you're three or four questions that are a bit curly and go in there with a stack hat on and a mouth guard and just say, look, I've got four questions that are going to rile you. Because he doesn't like to be... He very much pushes back on if you sort of question what he's doing. Mind you, he said during the week, which I found a little bit sort of odd, that the plan's working, it's all coming together. Was that basically what he said?
Paraphrasing to that. Yeah, close.
Yeah, okay. Close. Interesting to know what that plan was, but seems from a distance it sort of seems to be going a little bit off script. I would have thought the plan.
Patrick Dangerfield.
Yeah, that's not ideal. No. That handball to Rowan.
So he's been to Sydney.
Why did he have to go to Sydney?
Well, I think to have it looked at.
Well, isn't anyone here?
Well,
look at
I
it?
Don't know. I'm not exactly sure why. I'm only going via the club have confirmed to me that he's been to Sydney. And that they are further assessing today, and they will hopefully have some sort of...
Was that from that handball?
I don't know where it was.
It's internal. What's his issue?
No, it's ankle related, isn't it?
Is that what they said? He didn't appear to have an ankle to me. Did he? Can't even wasn't limping at all. He was in a bit of trouble after he handballed that ball to Rowan. They got absolutely crunched. Okay, so he's got an ankle problem.
Well, that's what I thought.
No, you might be right. I just sort of looking from afar, Kingy. I was at the Geelong races yesterday, so... I didn't...
How did the Wild Racing Stable...
Yeah, it was a hit-and-run mission, Kingy. Just one...
One runner?
One runner.
One for one?
Yeah, we were one for one. So
Sam Edmund is the journo that has been all over this. And I'm just going to my... just talk amongst yourselves while I...
Yeah, we just... Do you want me to pad?
Yeah, look, what do you... Yeah, what?
I can pad with a bit of... I haven't really got much to pad with, to be honest with you.
Here we go. Danger... made an impromptu flight to Sydney yesterday for a second opinion. The Cats have a big decision to make. I'm just having a look at the story. I thought it was ankle related.
Yeah, you could. I think you could be right, Kingy. I'll take your word over at the mine.
I love when you get friend requests on your phone on Facebook from people you've previously defriended.
Really?
Yeah, you don't have Facebook, which you're a smart man. Yeah, serious ankle injury.
Right, okay. Mm. Serious?
Yeah, Geelong superstar Patrick Dangerfield has embarked on an impromptu flight to Sydney in a desperate bid to avoid surgery on a serious ankle injury. It's a syndesmosis tear.
Oh, that could be the syndesmosis of the lamb korma. Oh, that could be really big. Mm. That can be sort of, we had...
Justin Edwards.
Yeah, that's him. He was comprehensive. Goodness me.
Crow Bay Health Group.
It was like doctor, sort of Dr. Bombay.
Well, no, senior physio.
Yeah, he was, in terms of medical reports, that was as comprehensive I've ever heard on the rock.
Yeah.
He was talking about that syndesmosis, suggesting it can be anywhere from sort of, I think he mentioned a player who came back from it relatively quickly.
Yep.
Might have been Liberatore. No.
Yeah, I think
was it Liberatore?
Yep.
And then another player took
forever.
3 months.
Yep.
There's a cat had it too in the last few years.
Joel Selwood had
syndesmosis
at the end of 2018.
Yeah, and he missed a bit of time.
2 weeks.
Jeez. Well, let's hope it's not too bad because the Cats can't afford to have danger. They can still beat. Who are West Coast going to have out? Hearn?
Yep.
Ryan?
Rioli.
Rioli.
Sorry, Rioli. Rioli's already out.
He's
sorry.
Out. Willie?
Yeah.
Willie's out. Oh, there's a heap of them.
Yo,
Gabba Gabba.
Yo yourself.
There's a few others there.
Yeah, they're not at full strength.
No, they're nowhere near full strength, and they're not good on the road.
No.
And the Cats are just not that good at the minute. So it's going to be sort of put your helmet on sort of style, I would have thought.
Gee, if they can get to 4-2, the Cats.
Yeah, they'll be flying.
And they go to Sydney.
Given how well.
And they go to Sydney the following week to play Sydney without Buddy and without Tom Hickey.
Well, what I'm bemused about is that Dangerfield's flying to Sydney to avoid surgery. So are they just finding somebody? Are they scouring the globe to find a doctor who says he doesn't need surgery? Or is the doctor here who said, you need to have the old surgery?
He could come in here and we could tell him he doesn't need it.
That's it. The old second opinion.
Doesn't need
you don't like the first one, just get the second one.
Yes. Do you want to answer some questions?
Yeah, I'd love to answer
questions. Call the daddy. Just one question and one statement. Apparently, after the game, K-Rock were quite critical of how the Kangaroos played last week, again, trying to nullify Geelong from scoring. I was wondering if you could elaborate on that. Well, that was Neardy talking about how...
Mark Neardy was quite critical of...
Yeah.
That
they were setting... So I suspect David Noble is trying to implement first a defensive system.
Yep. Which is fine.
And which worked.
Keeps them in the game, keeps the players mentally... sort of attuned and in the game. I don't mind that. I just think if you go in and try potentially a game style that Richmond might adopt or West Coast might adopt with a side like North Melbourne, you're going to be down 7 goals at quarter time and potentially down by 20 goals at the end of the game. I think that if they learn to stay in the game, Neardy was saying they were never going to win a game playing like that, which I wasn't 100% in agreement with. I thought North did. If you're a North Melbourne supporter, you could not possibly have questioned their effort on the weekend.
No, they have a crack.
They were fantastic. Yeah. Ben Cunnington is really good to watch for a handball player only. Yeah. He is fantastic to watch, and he played really well.
Took a couple of nice marks too.
He outmarked Mark Blitzovs, which
the one hander.
He's the second strong. Well, he's don't argue is the second best in the comp.
After Dusty's.
Yeah, it's an absolute cracker. He just times it so well. He's got, I think I described on a Saturday as farm strength.
As opposed to gym strength.
Yeah, he's got a lot of farm strength about him. But no, look, you're right. Newity was very critical. And that's just because he was critical. Doesn't mean the rest of us 100% agreed with him.
No. I cannot wait to have a tall lead-up forward who can take a mark above his head. I was so frustrated with the amount of times we went to 1v1s and kicked the ball into the air to Dale or Myers. Whether it's Tom or JC, I don't really care. I just want that target.
Yeah, I agree. Even late in the game, Kingy, I noticed that Geelong had the ball on the wing, on the broadcast wing, switched it into the middle, which is fine. The next kick sort of went to the other wing. And then the next kick was looking to go inside forward 50. Jack Henry and Tom Stewart are standing inside forward 50.
Mm.
I don't understand. And then why would that be? I don't understand why you would need to have your two defenders inside forward 50 when you are controlling the ball across the middle and looking to create space. It was only one play and they didn't end up getting the ball. But I just thought to myself, why are those two defenders clogging up the forward 50 It just made little or no sense to me.
Foxdog50, hey boys, this is more of a rant but also a question. The match committee, I honestly don't understand how they can keep picking two players whose form is terrible and doesn't make them look good in picking them. Luke Dalhouse, how can you seriously keep picking him to play where his form? He wouldn't get picked in a local footy comp. Surely a guy like Narkle who could easily play Dalhouse's position. I'm not sure whether why Narkle didn't play at either level on the weekend. I'm not sure why he didn't. Reece Stanley, his job is to ruck. 8 hit-outs for the number one ruckman. Do I have to say any more? So let's play Darcy Ford, who has played good in the 3 practice games and 1 VFL game that he's played in. But then Chris Scott said, hey, he's had an injury interrupted preseason, so he needs to find some game time and get match fitness. So why didn't we do the same to Luke Dalhouse? It's not a bad point. I'm sure the club have got an answer for that. They always do. I thought Reece Stanley was quite solid against Goldstein.
He was. And I'd be advocating Reece Stanley over Darcy Fort. I think Darcy Fort's a bit lumbering. And I'm not saying Reece Stanley's Polly Farmer, but I think that Stanley can at least, when he's going well, can offer you a little bit more all over the ground. Darcy Fort's a bit more your old-style ruckman,
yep.
And I just don't know that there's a spot for him. We just need Radigalia back. I think Radigalia potentially would help Reece Stanley, just the way he might soften up the second ruckman or the first ruckman, because he does love to get that knee in. So I think that's just – we've got probably need another 3 or 4 weeks for Radigalia to be in the mix for the seniors.
So if that's 3 or 4 weeks, are we seeing him before the bye? Maybe.
Just I'd play him in the twos until he's starting to maybe dominate a twos game. I wouldn't just throw the, you know, because he's not, Luke Dallas is a classic example, played what, 200 games, 199 games,
yep.
Has a poor preseason, comes in and plays like he's had a poor preseason.
Yep.
This is a bloke with 199 games under his belt.
Yep.
Don't put Radigalia in as a young player who's still very much learning his craft, I hate that word, but learning his craft. Don't put him in until he's absolutely ready. So if that's 6 weeks in the twos, hopefully the team can get to, you know, 7-4 or whatever it is,
yep.
And be in the mix and you bring him in. Don't rush him in because he will struggle. And then once you start to struggle,
yep. Confidence goes.
And then it's a stint back in the twos. Have that stint now in the twos and get him in when he's right.
Last of all, Sam DeConning. I'm very happy for the young fella for getting his first game, but why wouldn't you play him in his natural position in the defence? Was all Australian in his draft year, so instead of trying to play him in makeshift role as a forward ruck, play him in his best position, because he's been playing as a forward and a defender since he got to the Cats. He played a lot of forward time last year, and they were happy with what they saw when he played forward last year in the scratch matches.
Yeah, I don't think he'd be playing this week.
No,
it was good to see him, and you know, it's good for his confidence and reward for his effort so far, and he's got a lot of bodybuilding to do over the next couple of years. But it was great to see him in there. What did you make of Luke Dalhouse stealing the goal from him and then sort of celebrating like he'd grabbed a fifth golden ticket, Willy Wonka into the palace?
Wasn't a great look.
Wasn't. No, I didn't think it was either, to be honest with you. But did you know the candy is dandy, but liquor is quicker?
I hope I haven't wasted your time in posting this. I just need to get that off my chest. Is when I talk to my wife about this, she just looks at me silly.
What was this?
Foxdog 50.
Yeah, they can do that.
Son of God 29. G'day, lads. Is it just me or does Luke Dalhouse look like he should be playing for Leopold instead of Geelong? How on Gary Ablett's gods, green earth, does he continue to get a game? As a small 40, he's laid a total of 15 tackles in 5 games and averages 11 possessions. Bloody hell, Benny would lay more than 3 tackles a week on his horses.
I could lay a couple of tackles.
I'm not putting up with that CRAP about missing preseason. If you miss a chunk of preseason, you should be staying in the VFL unless you're an absolute A-grader, Danger, Joel, Jezza, Hawk, which Dalhouse will never be. Can we please have players playing in their correct position this week? Because if we don't, West Coast are going to make us look like a rabble and do not, under any circumstances, bomb the ball into the forward line.
Yeah, I agree with all that. I think that's... I don't think any sort of reasonable Geelong fan wouldn't disagree with all that.
Mm.
I think it's on the money. But this is the point. We very frightened to pull players out like a Dalhouse who has a name and has been brought to the club, and I know he's not in his first year at the club, but you know there's always a percentage of the selection decision is to play the bloke you've brought to the club because you've got to justify bringing him to the club.
Yep,
that's part of that, and that's every club does that, not just Geelong. And then it's a little bit like equating it to the first round draft pick. He always gets a few more years than he probably should, even if he's not going that well,
yep.
Because he's a first round. If he was pick 61...
Mitch Brown is the classic example.
Yeah, even probably Darcy Lang,
mm.
Jackson Thurlow.
I still think Thurlow was a very good
I thought he was okay. Kane, Tenace.
Yeah.
All those guys probably got longer than they should.
Yeah.
But if you pick 61, you're out the door because it's, oh, pick 61, nobody cares. Matter, yeah. But it doesn't show up well in your stats when you're getting rid of your first round draft pick. No. It's a bit like, and I'm equating it to the horse industry here, but the trainer that has the horse that they've gone and selected.
Yep. And paid a lot for.
Yeah. Will hang on to that horse generally a lot longer than the bloke when they get a horse from somebody else who they have no association with,
or
simply because they think the horse should be able to, it's not, doesn't work like
or
that.
Or picked it up for $5,000.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so
Or it's fully paid up by some owners who have homebred the horse.
Yep.
And then even then the homebred owners will want to keep that horse going longer than they should because it's homebred. Yep. But if you look at it objectively, you know, you got to, and that's where, and that Geelong aren't the only club that's guilty of all that, but
no.
Because they got so many. What did they have last week? They had nine or 10 recycled players in that team.
Would have had so Dangerfield,
Stanley,
yep.
Dalhouse,
yep,
Gary Rowan,
yep.
Who else is there? There's more. Maybe not.
Don't think it was that many.
If their full team comes in, will they have nearly half the team? You know, so you add Cameron, a couple other players there. They'd have to have at least a third of the team is recycled. Minimum, I would have thought.
Let me just have a look.
Zach Tui. You've moved away from the microphone, Kingy. I'm trying to pad here, but I'm padding.
So Dalhouse.
One.
Dangerfield.
Two.
Is Menegola recycled?
Yep, three.
But he didn't play at another club.
Played three.
He didn't play in a senior game anywhere else.
Nah, true. But I mean, technically, he's still. That's a 50-50 one.
Okay, Henderson.
So yeah, there's another one.
Rowan.
Yep.
Smith.
Yep.
Tui Stanley.
Yep.
About eight.
So you had Cameron in nine.
Yep.
Anyone else?
That's missing.
Yeah.
Of note, no.
So you're going to have virtually nine or ten of your team.
Oh, Higgins, sorry.
Higgins, ten. So you're going to have 10 players
of
your 22 who are all from other clubs.
Yeah. Yeah, but some have been there for a heck of a long time.
Yeah, they have. Well, you know, a few.
Stanley's played over 100 games for Geelong.
Yeah.
Tui's coming up to 100 games for Geelong.
It's just interesting the way that Geelong have kept themselves
up. Dangerfield's played 100 games for Geelong. Menegola's played 80-odd games. So you've got, yeah. Yeah, I know what you're saying, Benny.
It's just interesting. I mean, you look at Richmond. And I'm not knocking the Cats here. They've kept themselves afloat with a different method to the Tigers. The Tigers have been sort of able to draft.
Well, the Tigers weren't afloat, remember, there for a while.
No, they were sinking. Yeah, that's right. But they've sort of, they're like Geelong of 2007 to 2011, really, aren't they? They've just gone and added, like, they needed that second tall or that key forward. So they went and got Tom Lynch.
Yep.
They needed that one position. Geelong, sometimes I think, grab players and then try and find them a position.
Yep.
So that takes time potentially for that to sort of evolve. Geelong don't really have time at the moment, do they? They've got to make hay while the old sun shines. Yep.
Daz Broncos, this shall be known as the Savrat dilemma. Had a good quality hit out in the VFL first game back. However, where does he fit in the 22? Can he play as a second ruck and third tall forward, or does that leave us too top heavy? Can he hold the number one ruck spot at 197 centimetres and play 80% game time there? I think his role is third forward, second ruck. And probably on ground, it's going to be hard to play on GMHBA Stadium where the Cats have still got, well, he won't play this week, but potentially by the time Geelong are back here in late May, they'll still have six home games. Can they run Cameron Hawkins, Stanley Radigalea in the same side? Maybe, but it's probably going to be better suited on every other ground in the comp other than here.
Yeah. Yep, it's always been a bit of an issue for the Cats.
Maybe Sydney it won't work either, but he won't play in the Sydney game because that's next week afterwards. So going along with the indigestible game style of last week, the other unpalatable mess over the weekend is what in the world is going on with Wellesley. Well, he's taken some time away from the club to assess his future. But
yeah,
why? Well, only Stephen Wells can tell us that.
Yeah, you haven't heard any rumours?
No.
Maybe he's just had enough.
Yeah, 61 years old. He's been at the footy club since the mid-80s. Did very varying roles. First up in Echuca as the development officer for that zone.
A for Echuca.
And then he came back down here, was involved with the under-19s, bit of football management role, assistant footy manager he was, and then went into recruiting full-time in the late mid-90s, 94, 95. Maybe he's just looked at the read the tea leaves and gone, do you know what? Cookie's going. Colin Carter's gone. You know, is it time for him to bow out? Great, you know, I'm sure he's comfortable in life. He loves his golf.
Maybe.
You know, maybe he might just do a bit of consultancy, a bit of talent spotting on the side. And, yeah, good luck to him, whatever he chooses to do. He's been brilliant for the footy club.
Maybe he's had a massive falling out with someone at the footy club. You don't really know, do
you? We don't know that either. No. Yeah, it's all pure speculation. Until he comes out and says, which, knowing Wells, that's not his.
No, he won't.
We were just guessing.
You think there's a bigger role, well, potentially a bigger role there for Troy Selwood,
Andrew
if that's
Mackie,
the case.
Andrew Mackie.
Yeah. So that'll be interesting to see how that sort of plays
out.
Yeah,
who becomes their national recruiting manager, who's into that spot next.
Troy does a lot of the recruiting, I'm led to believe. Yeah. He's actually Geelong's chief recruiter.
Well, Pete Ryan said he expects that Troy, once the NAB League goes into hiatus, there's another great word.
That is too.
That's up there with spasm.
Yeah, hiatus.
And ointment.
Yep, and Vesuvius.
Vesuvius. He will. He'll head interstate and be looking at the talent interstate. Melt the bronze now for his statue next to Cookie and Frank in Legend Row out the front of KP. I get nothing lasts forever, but be a massive blow if he left. Yeah, people move on. Everybody's replaceable. I know it's Stephen Wells, but you know people have been groomed in that role in various recruiting roles. Is Troy, Liam Woodland. I'm sure Geelong won't fall over because Stephen Wells is not there.
No, they certainly won't, Kingy. That's one thing I can guarantee 100%.
NQ Flog boys, Geelong look disjointed and can't get any flow in their game. Some of the questions, how much time do they spend at training individual groups, backs, mids, forwards, as opposed to a whole team? In the 90s, Blighty tried to implement a more defensive game plan after one of the losing grand finals. The players didn't like it and held a meeting with him, which resulted in going back to playing attacking footy. To me, something looks wrong with the group. No spark. Do you think it's possible they look around and see a more open game this year, but have to continue to with a dour, scrappy style, resulting in a team not enjoying their football? I would say there's a spark missing from the Cats.
Yeah, it's definitely
and
a
they
spark.
And they need an incident, I'm not saying something stupid, I'm just like somebody to chase down from behind or something like that just to get them going.
They need a bit more system in their game, Kingy, I reckon would help. Yeah. A little bit more urgency and a bit more ball movement. I mean, to have 440 disposals against a team that's young and inexperienced suggests you're kicking it around a lot. Mm. Whereas that's not that sort of style, let's put it that way. That sort of style, I don't think he's going to trouble the good sides at all.
No.
What troubles the good sides, and we saw in last year's final series with the Cats, is the slick ball movement. Mm. That catches teams out. They're not capable of setting. If you just kick the ball sideways, you know, perennially, the ball, your good sides just set up. You're 100-1.
Yeah. I can't answer the question about how much time they spend in individual groups because we don't see a lot of trouble. We get 15 minutes, and all the 15 minutes is usually the players warming up and then we're booted. I've actually stopped. So after Chris Scott's media conference, we go out onto the ground. I've stopped going because it's just actually 15 minutes. You don't learn. The only thing you might learn is there's not a player there, but then the club usually comes back and say, well, he's on a different program or something.
Yeah, or
like
he's
that.
In there just having a salad roll or he'll be out in a minute.
Yep.
That old chestnut.
Mr. Catman 01, hey, Kingy and Casters, the current group, we seem to have a feel of the early to mid-90s teams, full of talented champions but not possessing the true essence of a team. Also, is the midfield forward connection our biggest issue right now? Yeah, it's actually not a bad analogy. A lot of champions in the team, but can't, you know, we've lost one grand final and, those late 80s, 90s teams came up short. Not the worst analogy. Yes, midfield forward connection is a massive issue.
Yeah, I agree. Just the kick-ins. Well, it's an issue because of the sort of slowish ball movement. That's the biggest issue. If there was a bit of quick ball movement and then Hawkins and some of these other forwards had a bit of space to lead, but generally, not all the time, but a lot of the time the ball's going in and it's so slow and disjointed, they've really got nowhere to lead and then you look all disjointed. So and there's a time to go slow. Don't get me wrong. You can't play at a million miles an hour for the entire game.
No.
But you've got to pick your moments and I think it might have been Isaac Smith did a kick in last week's game from half back, and it was an absolute cracker, and it came back into the middle, and it had North Melbourne suddenly at sixes and sevens. There needs to be a bit more of that. I think you know, you want to, if a mistake's made, okay, live with it. That's fine.
Yeah.
I'd rather a mistake made, and I'm not talking about being reckless, every kick goes back into the middle, but give some blokes some license to take the game on and maybe take that risky kick. If it comes off, because that risky kick into the middle, how often do you see a goal score from that?
No,
a lot.
Yeah.
A lot. And you'd be prepared to wear that. I would rather that than the safe kick that goes backwards into our defensive 50, 20 metres, that hits the target and goes down as a nice stat.
Mm.
I'd rather them take that risky kick. Okay, if it bites you in the bum and you get a goal scored against you, you know.
But the issue is then players go back into their shell and don't do it.
Well, you can't. The good sides don't do that. That's why Richmond are a good team. They don't do that.
But they don't turn the ball over like that either.
No, every now and then they do.
Not very often.
I've saw some turnovers last week from West Coast even against Collingwood early in that game. Mm. The good sides do it, but they keep going.
Mm.
And if you keep going with it, because what that also does, Kingy, over a period of a game, if you just become predictable and chip it around, the opposition gets set.
Mm.
If you're going with that kick that goes inboard and you're going with it quite regularly, there's that doubt in your mind, okay, we need a couple, maybe two or three more players to set up in the middle.
Yep.
That then opens it up down the line where you were, in terms of that kick down the line, the ground just opens up a little bit more.
Yeah. GMHBA Stadium just doesn't open up enough, unfortunately.
No, there's still opportunities to do it, and guys like Smith have got enough runs on the board that if they make a mistake, they don't...
How often did Isaac Smith get caught on the wrong side?
Yeah, he did. He does that a little. He always used that for Hawthorn too, actually.
Yeah.
He played quite well. I like the way he's sort of building into the year. He's been.
He just seemed to be on the right hand side the right hand side when he got the footy and had to kick on his right foot, which is obviously a natural left footer. Hoopla, do you think opposition teams have worked out the best way to beat the Cats is to flood, and then break away with speed when the Cats make a mistake? If Geelong persist with the slow, controlled approach, then we might need to find a better way to combat the flood. Any suggestions on how to score in a flooded forward line? I don't think everybody's flooded against the Cats. North Melbourne, it just looked north. GMHBA Stadium is an easy ground to flood on, Benny. So I would, give me a couple more games to see what the Eagles and Sydney do to the Cats. Although the SCG is an easy ground to flood back on as well because it's so small. Look, the flooded forward line, you've got to be patient. And that's where the controlled approach actually works if you're getting flooded back against. But then you've got to be just so precise with your delivery.
Yeah. And you've got to get a bit of run off your back half. You've got to get a bit of zip.
Well, you've got to get the ball moving so they can't get numbers back quick enough. But teams have worked really hard against the Cats this year to get numbers back.
Yeah, well, the teams are going to work hard.
Cameron will change things.
Well, yeah, he can. He's the one that can alter the way that they play, and they've got to just get a little bit more dare and a little bit more dash from the back half to break it open a little bit. That's where Richmond is so good and Port Adelaide is so good too. Got good ball users who run, get Buse involved, Tom Stewart.
Yep.
It's some of those guys.
Zach Tui.
Yeah, well, he's sort of playing a bit more up the ground, but he's one that could go back.
I'd roll him back.
And get a bit of dash and a bit of dare. Yep. We need to get dash and dare, Kingy.
Dash and dare.
It's a good name for a horse, isn't it? He's dash and dare.
Just coming up behind the stalls. Blinkers on first time.
Yeah, BFT.
Howler 41. Felt like we might have slowly turned a corner versus North, or at least approached the turn. At least a quicker ball movement was attempted. Kick straighter and it's a big win. The kicking inside 50 was about as good as a vaccine rollout. Still not sure why Atkins is being picked ahead of Clark, because Atkins is a more consistent player than Jordan Clark right now.
Yeah, and that's sort of Clark.
And the fact that Geelong didn't, when they had the chance at the end of the game, when Dangerfield came out of the game, they could have put Jordan Clark in to get a run for 10, 15 minutes, and they said, don't worry about it, mate.
Yeah, so no, he's just not travelling. I don't think he's getting played in his correct spot either. But
where would you play him? Off halfback?
Yeah.
But where's whose spot did he take?
Well, Atkins, but... Well, not right now, but yeah. That's why I'm saying I don't understand why he wasn't. I said this last week. Why wasn't he trained there all pre-season to play that role?
Mm.
He's in no man's land now. He's got no confidence. He's got no position.
Mm.
He's out of the team. And you've got a bloke who's come out of the VFL, supposedly being your sort of architect off halfback.
Well, Howell's written 41's written. It's like the selectors are proving a point that they got another player from nowhere. Big Sav showed some good signs in the VFL. He did. Still think we're too tall in defence and Henderson is the one to drop out.
Yeah, look, and that's, I've said that last week too, and it's not a knock on, you know, Lockie Henderson's played quite well. It's not like he's played poorly. I just think for the mix of the defence, he is not the one. That's where Radaglia hopefully comes in. Blitzarves becomes your key back, with Kolodziejczyk as your second back, tall defender. And then you've got a little bit, you could then take Henderson out,
yep.
and you could maybe add in another runner to your defence. I just think that mix is better. It's not a, I don't think Lockie Henderson has been quite serviceable, but just in terms of the mix of the team, I don't know that he's the one, but they're not going to change that. 100. Got more chance of the Yu Yangs erupting prior to this weekend than Lockie Henderson coming out of that team. And if Radaglia does come back in and then Blitzarves does become a permanent defender, I don't know the mix of having Blitzarves, Henderson and Kolodziejczyk. I'm not sure that's great.
Benny and Kingy, we have a 5-round sample size of players form. This is Cool Cat 75. Assuming every player is fit, pick your starting 22. Tell us who plays second ruck and whether we play a tagger. We probably haven't got long enough to pick our best 22 here. Your second ruck is Radaglia.
So, I think so, yeah.
Yeah. And you play, when a tagger is required, you give O'Connor the opportunity to do that.
Yeah, I agree. He's shown a sort of a liking for it. He seems to have an ability to find a bit of the ball. And he will only get better the more he does it. So I think that's a winner.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for your... Cool. We might make that something we look at in the next couple of weeks with the Cats. Maybe we'll look at it about... We've got a big pre-game before the Sydney game. We've got about a two-hour pre-game. I reckon we might have a look at the best 22... Or a Scott of 25 that we would think is the best way forward for the Cats there. But, you know, it's all horses for courses too. So, but we'll look
it
at
is
that.
Horses for courses.
Mm-hmm. Talking about horses for courses, you got a winner for us, Benny?
I have today.
Have you?
Yeah, what time's this going out?
Oh, well, it'll be out by...
I had one for us yesterday.
Should be out by 1 p.m. Wednesday.
Well, it's running at about... If you put it out at 1 p.m. yep. and anybody's listening to it, it will be...
Name of the horse?
The name of the horse is McKeever.
McKeever.
Yeah.
M-A-K-E-E-V.
M-C-K-E-E-V. It's having its first start. It's relatively short in the market,
mm-hmm.
but it's done enough to suggest that it could be going over the line first position. Okay. I had one yesterday. I should have been on yesterday, King. Yeah. I had one yesterday that was well found in the market. And I think the professional punters might have laid into it,
yeah.
and it got the chockies for us. Yeah. So, yeah, looking forward to seeing McKeever. Only a little fella, but he's... He punches above his weight.
Yeah, Benny, you're very, what's the word, very...
I'm going to answer no to this.
No, you are. No. You're pretty cool, calm and collected about life in most things, but I've never seen anybody look like more of a kid in a candy store than when you met Matt Hill.
Yes, that was very exciting. I did meet, he was talking to you, Kingy, and I just went over and then he called me Dan, which wasn't ideal. But I'm happy with that, though. It was close enough. No, it was good.
Dan Casanelli.
Yeah, old Dan. And then, it was good. I'd like to actually spend half an hour with Matt. Well, he's a fantastic race caller.
Like you were there and you know, how do you do your form and all that sort of stuff.
I just wondered how he goes about it because he's best in the business.
Yep.
And he's like, there's not that many race callers worldwide.
Yeah.
He'd be in the top five.
Well, the fact that he gets the call up to go, used to get the call up to go over and do the big ones at Ascot in the UK, and that means you're...
He's top five in the world in his profession.
Yeah, that's amazing.
There's not many people like that.
No.
And he seems pretty down to earth.
Oh, he's a ripper.
Yeah.
Great.
And he's calling footy.
Yep, calling footy.
So don't turn it off the rock just yet. Yeah, Only get onto him for the races.
Actually won't. I don't think you'll hear him because I think what he's calling for is a nationwide call that you won't hear in Geelong or Metro Melbourne.
So. No, but I was very excited to meet Matt and hopefully I'll meet him again. But, it's not many people.
Yep.
In fact, very few in the world could say they were top five in their profession.
You couldn't thrust your hand out to introduce yourself quick enough.
It's like I didn't thrust something else there, King. I got that excited. Everything bar my bowels went. Kerr's Hire, Geelong's official whack and noisen dealer. North Geelong, Grovedale and Ocean Grove. KerrsHire.com.au.